we'll make a list for that. And just so that we have some resources to go to there. Amen? Hallelujah. That's it. Oh, yeah. Brand new purple book. Well, don't. Brand new purple book. Hallelujah. It's purple. So I invite Tim. Tim, you want to come up here, bud? Tim Hafsel. I've known Tim probably when I first got saved. We used to hold Bible studies over at his mom and dad's place over on the way to Penhold. And I remember the one time we kind of got, I kind of got born again into a revival. And so we were meeting at their place there. And we had 50, 60 people in this little house. And the Spirit of God was moving. And we started to dance. And that whole floor was just going up like this. So his dad said, the next week he says, it's awesome to have you guys coming. But he says, we just need to cool it on the dancing there. Otherwise, we're going to be ending up in the basement. So, yeah, so I'd just like to introduce Tim Hafsel here, longtime friend and brother.
Maybe we can just open with a word of prayer. It's only going to be 10 to 13 minutes, right? That's why I was writing it down. 10:42, 10:55. 13 minutes? 42, 50. Yeah. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'd be with me as I just share my testimony or part of it, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that whatever is said will be glorifying to you, and also that would be encouraging to those that are listening and helpful. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help me to share the things that you want shared. In Jesus' name, amen. What I wrote down here was just a few things. This is my intro, but it's like a pretty long, turned into a long intro, but I'll just condense it. Just to follow up on something that Pastor Stan was saying about, basically what I got from what he was saying is repentance isn't just emotion, but it's actually involves your will, and it's changing your mind, and your will has to be involved. You just can't be emotional one day and then feel sorry for what you did, and then go do the same thing, and then be emotional again. And but it's an act of your will. And so I was thinking for an introduction. I was thinking of, it was a bit of a joke, but you know, sometimes with jokes, it depends on your delivery, and sometimes they're pretty flat. Well, I'll just tell it anyways. It's not really a joke. But I was thinking when I was 18, I made a decision to join a biker gang, and it altered the course of my life, a criminal organization. And but actually, I did make a decision when I was 18, but that wasn't it. I just say that because it was a kind of a joke, but it's kind of a something that's true that some I've heard testimonies before, and I think we all have that people talk about everything they were into, all these things, and they're just, you know, talk for probably 90% of the testimony about what they're into, and it almost seems like they really enjoyed that time of their life, and they're pretty proud of all that stuff they did, but then they became a Christian, and you know, then that's like the end of their testimony, and it's been great since then. But I remember my brother Kurt, I think he was about grade 9, we were listening to one of those testimonies like that back in the 70s, and his kind of sad because he said, you know, here I am, you know, just in grade 10, and I haven't done any of that stuff. And, you know, so he had kind of looked at it from the wrong perspective. The people giving the testimony, they say that just to show that what they were into and what God saved them out of. But some people that want adventure in their life, they're thinking, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, you do all that and then become a Christian and have this great testimony. But so basically from that point, till he's 19, he kind of went down the road in a lot of hard things in his life, and you know, he didn't plan on being like that because it definitely wasn't really glamorous like he thought it would be. And during that time, we had a close relationship before that, but because of that, you know, it's hard to do things with him because he was into the, you know, the partying part, and I didn't want to do that, and so it was just really a strain on our relationship, and we didn't do too many things together. So it's really neat. He's 19. He got back to the Lord, and so we've had a really good relationship since then. Although there's been different things that have come along, but But it's good today. And so, how much time do I have? Well, that's it. So, thanks. No. 10:47, I got 7 minutes. I'm going to go with the 13 minutes, but he took 2 minutes of mine from the start. Okay. So I was thinking that what a good thing to do is to think more about death than life. And I've just been thinking about that more lately. I've kind of thought of it off and on. All through my life, I've basically evaluated my life periodically, kind of gone back and seen what I've done, where I'm going, and you know, and try to make adjustments. But recently, within the past couple of years, I've thought more about this, especially seeing this one video called 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiss. And if you haven't seen that, it's an excellent video to watch, that God actually took him to hell out of his out-of-body experience and showed him what it was like. And actually, when he was down there, he didn't realize that he was a Christian. God took that knowledge from him, that he was actually a Christian. And so he experienced what the how hopeless it was to realize that was going to be his eternal state, basically in torment. And he said that everything you feel, pain, just like you do here, and you have memories of this life. And so it's not like you're a spirit and you're gone and it's really vague, but it's like you're actually down there, and that it's at the center of the earth. He said God showed him that, and then he backed all this stuff up in scripture, that there's a place down, you know, the center of the earth would be about 4,000 miles down, apparently. He said about 3,700 miles. And there's actually a place down there. And years ago, I heard, you know, seismic crews, I think Russian seismic crews were tapped down, and they heard some screaming and or different things. But, you know, some people, you know, you can be skeptical about things like that. But, you know, I believe that, you know, there's an actual place, and that, you know, our bodies, we will have them down there. Like, hopefully no one here will go to hell, but I mean, it's a real place, and it's something that Jesus talked about all the time, talked about hell. So I think we need to talk about hell more so people can avoid it and know that, you know, heaven's wonderful and God's got a great plan and future for us. But if we reject that, there is a hell, and it's eternal. And you do feel pain. You'll have your body. You do have memories. You'll remember all the times that you missed the opportunities here on earth. And every, you know, just the most horrible, horrible thought you can think of, to know that you'll never, ever get out of that place. It's eternal. Well, it'll turn into the lake of fire after the 1,000 years. But, okay. Well, 3-minute testimony. Okay. So basically, I said the milestones in my life were when I looked back, and actually right before Alvin asked me, that I think the night before, I was thinking, okay, what are the milestones of my life, and, you know, the main things in my spiritual life? Because we all have things, you know, our education, our family, and different things, but what really matters? And then you look at, the saddest thing is if you look in the obituary and you see, this person was a very successful architect, and they just go through a few of his, you know, secular things, or that he was a great Rotary Club member. And you go, whoa, is that ever sad? Because that stuff really does not matter at all when it comes right down to it. The things that matter are the things that are unseen, that are eternal. And when you read that, you go, oh, like I just missed everything. And there's so many, like, it's fairly rare to see someone with a really good Christian obituary that they're, you know, that they're saved. And that is so sad, that people just live their life and they're just blinded. You know, Satan deceives them that, you know, the things that they think are important aren't important. But 1970, I became a Christian when I was 10 years old at a Red Deer Lake Bible camp. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And 1975, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at a... down in Montana, Hungry Horse, Montana camp. Pastor Stalwick, he was really instrumental in my spiritual walk and growth. And when I became a Christian back in 1970, him and Pastor Dolan led me to the Lord. And then 1975, at Hungry Horse, Pastor Stalwick was like the camp dean, but down in Hungry Horse, Montana, I think. Alvin, were you ever down there? Oh, he knows a lot of people that were, though, like Glenn Beauchamp and all those guys. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. 1978, like what my big opening joke there, actually there was something that changed my life. I was, this is the only thing I'll say about my sports. I was really into sports and music, and that was kind of like the big thing in my life all through, you know, growing up. And when I was at a wrestler training or tryout camp, I was like in juvenile D the year before, like a real low one, C or D. And then my coaches for that, when I was up, you know, if anyone's been to the old arena, they had that level up top, and it's always filled with smoke and you know, above the concession. I think there's a concession up there too. But anyways, I was up there, and they come running up to me, my coaches from the year before. They go, you know, I think at that point I'd said that I was leaving or quitting, and they said, we're going to talk to the scouts, you know, or the coach, and tell them that, you know, you should, or recommend you to make the team or whatever. And then that's when I had to tell them, actually, I decided to leave because I'm going to Bible school. And then their faces kind of stuck, and I go, oh, you know, so I was disappointed for them because they kind of had these high hopes, you know, that, you know, they'd say, oh, I coached that guy, and I'm not sure how well I'd done, but anyways, I just remember that one incident, and I thought, oh, that's kind of, I let them down, and so I felt bad. But I made my choice at that point to go to Bible school instead of, you know, pursuing hockey. And that 3 months really changed my life because at high school, I knew about the intervarsity or ISCF, the Christian group there, but I never did attend it all through high school. And I was trying to walk the line, you know, if someone asked if I was a Christian, I'd say yes. But I didn't broadcast it. It was such a, you know, if you grew up in that time, it was such a secular atmosphere. I went to River Glen before that, and it seemed like there was no Christians around. And maybe, you know, I just can't remember people, maybe one person, but they were like in Jesus People movement, and which was good, but she was very vocal, like, you know, almost too much in a way. But I mean, it was good. But so there's so anyways, after that time, after the Bible school, I really committed myself to the Lord, and I just thought, you know, I don't care if people know I'm a Christian. In fact, I want them to know I'm a Christian. And when I took another trimester back at Lindsay Thurber, and then I joined the Christian group, and when I got a chance to talk to people, I'd tell them about the Lord. And so that just changed my life, that 3 months at Bible school. And from then on, there was 1987, another milestone, when I basically just fell in love with the Lord and was praying all the time, and a lot of things, deliverance kind of came just by spending time in the Lord's presence and just weeping, you know, hours weeping before the Lord. And it was just, you know, life-changing. And, you know, some people hear my testimony, they think that's when I became a Christian. But no, that's when I really, you know, basically fell in love with the Lord, wanted to spend time with Him. You know, and that the last milestone is 2001, when I was kind of had a realization of what the spiritual world was really like, and that Christians can have demons inside of them, and not just people that were involved in the occult, as I thought before, or non-Christians, but just normal Christians, like a phobia, like, you know, if they have a phobia of something, that's a demon. And some people, they, you know, think, whoa, you know, you're getting too, you know, talk about demons, everything's demon. But no, there's a lot of things that are demon, but you know, Satan wants us to, you know, he's so deceptive. You know, if he can't get you, if he can't keep you to stay or keep you away from it, then he'll get you to go overboard and think that, you know, they're, anyways, a lot of confusion about demons. But if you look at Derek Prince, he's died in 2003, but he is a really good balanced authority about demonic stuff and all the influence in people's lives and deliverance and how important it is. And another person is Graham Powell, that he was at the Bible school there. So, 5 minutes over, and I just covered part of my introduction. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thanks. Hallelujah. Hello. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to thank you for Stan. Thank you for the word that you've put in his heart this morning for us, Lord God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll quicken it to us. God, we need to hear what you have to say to each of us individually, Lord God. So I pray for an anointing to rest upon my brother as he shares the word this morning, but an opening of our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What's next? Well, I'm just saying that because, you know, usually as I go through my week, you know, I'm in the Word and I just try to spend just some time in the mornings. I try to spend some time just praying and God gives me a word, and I had a word for this morning. Just was clear about it. I had a nice message all written out and it was all exactly the way I wanted it to be. And I thought, okay, got it all figured out. Thanks, God. And then yesterday we were driving home. Last night, actually, and actually this morning is really when he confirmed it. When God sometimes, see, I'm choking up here because I'm not sure what's happening here. But where God, once in a while, God says, no, that's not really what I want you to say tomorrow. And usually when he says that, I go, are you kidding me? I mean, I worked on this. Like, are you kidding me? He said, no, I got something different I want you to share today. And I said, well, it would have been nice to hear that on Wednesday. You know, like I don't need to hear that Sunday morning. And then my wife said, we just got to just trust him. Just let God speak. So we're going to have a little different message this morning. We are coming to the Lord's Supper. But I just thought, if you don't mind, for my sake, I need to do a song. Like, if we do one more song. And Roxy, I promise you that we were going to do what song? Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, right? Roxy is kind of new here. She just got cleaned up, and she's looking for a place to live, and she knows who Jesus is. Will you sing it with me if I do it? Yeah, you will. Come on up. No? Jason. Would you come up and do some drums? You know this song. You'll sing it from there. Well, yeah, I could do that too. We just need to worship God. I really feel that. We need to worship God. It's time to get on our feet again. Crystal, get on the piano. Yeah. Please, sorry. Yeah, please. Yeah. Wow. Thank you very much. Okay, let's clap. Lord. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Save us. You
you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. One more time. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lift him up. Lord, I lift your name on high. Worship him. Woo-hoo! I lift your name on high. Ooh, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. We're not stopping yet. We're not stopping. Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift one more time. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the cross to the grave. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let me hear you. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Lift your name on high. One more time. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lift him up. Lift him up. Yeah. Woo-hoo. There we go. Isn't that good? You say, thank you, Lord. You can sit, or you can stand, or you can kneel. You can do whatever you feel like. All right, that helps. That helps. God's in this place. Amen? God is here. And, you know, he just to get right to the point today, and I know that surprises you, but just to get right to the point today, it's all about invitation. And God just wanted to speak through me to you today to say to you, just come. It isn't rocket science. It's your Creator God who says to you, come. All I want is that you come. I just ask you to come. And there's an invitation. There's an invitation for you to come to Jesus. And that may be for the very first time. Or for many of us, it's just an ongoing, just keep coming. Keep coming back. Come to me. Come into my arms. Come and be with me. Will you just be with me? Crystal and I were listening to, I think it was Graham Cook. And he was talking about, that phrase in the Bible that says, be holy as I am holy. And that for so many of us, we grew up hearing that as sort of a finger pointing at you. You be holy as I am holy, you know. You better be holy. And he had a different take on it. It was more of an invitation. It was more, he said, why can't we just see it this way, that our God has got his arms wide open, and it's more of an invitation where he says, just be holy as I am holy. I impart this holiness to you. I invite you to be holy. Rather than I point my finger at you and tell you, it's more of an invitation. Just be holy. You are holy. You are washed in my blood. You're mine. Amen? And you know, we're coming to the table of the Lord later, and it's an invitation. The whole thing's about invitation. And I was struck as the Lord was laying this on my heart starting last night. And again, I'm resisting this. I'm going, oh, no, that's silliness. We're not doing that. And God says, no, we're doing that. And I'm going, okay, well, it's up to you then. Just bear with me here. But I was just struck with how many times God gives invitation, that maybe more than anything else, it's the nature of God to just call us and to say, come. How many times? And I started thinking about all the examples of that, about how God, even through the Old Testament, led his people by just saying, come. Just come and come with, be with me. I invite you to come. He invited Adam and Eve in the garden to walk in the cool of the day and to just be with him. He said, just come with me. He invited Moses to, he said, why don't you come? I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. I'm going to lead you out of the house of bondage. Why don't you just come and I'll lead you across the desert. It was an invitation, right? He invited David to build a kingdom. It was an invitation. Come, David. You're a man after my own heart, and I am going to build a kingdom around you that is going to be the kingdom of our God, my kingdom. And you are going to be the earthly king, and one day Jesus will be the reigning king, right? But it started with, you know, I'm going here, you hear that? It started with God saying just that one word, come. Why don't you come, and I'll build this kingdom. I'll show you what I can do in your life. And it's all about an invitation. It's all about him just saying that one word, just come to me. To the disciples, and believe me, we could have talked about 10 other people in the Old Testament. But to the disciples, you know, he was walking on the earth, and he just began his ministry, and he walked beside, and there was Peter and John, and there was Andrew and Peter, and James and John, and he just said, come. Hey, guys, come, follow me. It wasn't a lot of words. It wasn't, you know, a lot of explanation. He didn't say, well, listen, I'm going to tell you where we're going to go and what you're going to need. Go get this and, you know, make sure you bring this along with you. Have you got your sleeping bags, guys? Because if you're going to come, you're going to need your sleeping bag. He didn't do that. He just said, come, right? And we talked a bit a few weeks ago about how that's really repentance, that repentance is when we just say yes. And that actually, in my opinion at least, the disciples getting up and just going with Jesus and following him and making it in their mind, you know, in their mind deciding, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going the Jesus direction. That's what repentance is. Like Tim said, it's not necessarily, you know, a feeling or how sorrowful we are. It's about a direction. And it's about, I'm choosing to follow Jesus in this life. Well, that to me, the example of the disciples is an example of repentance. And that they just obeyed. And how many times does God say that to us in so many different ways and for lots of different reasons, but he just says, come, just come. I'm here for you, and I invite you. There are so many passages, and I'm going to not be able to say them all, but as I started thinking about them, I thought about Isaiah 55, where he says, and again, these won't be on the screen because I didn't give them to our technicians. You just have to listen to this. I'm going to give you a few. Just right now, I'm going to give you a few passages from God's Word that show you that this is who this God is. He's a God of invitation. In Isaiah 55, he said, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You have no money, come, buy and eat. And then later on, he says, and let him, this is in verse 7 now, let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for our God freely pardons. Can you say amen? Amen. Our God freely pardons. That's in Isaiah. Jesus said, it's in Matthew chapter 11. Some of you remember this word, these words of Jesus. He said, come to me. Anyone hear that before? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Are you weary? Are you kind of tired? Are you kind of sick of things? Well, Jesus said, come to me. It's just an invitation, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. In Revelation chapter 19, I'm going faster than Jad can even keep up, so it's not going to get the screen. I'm not trying to undercut you there, buddy, but if you can, you can. Revelation 19, here's what it says, Revelation 19, verse 6. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the rush, like the roaring rush of waters, and like the loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And then he finishes that thought off in the end of the, actually the end of the Word of God in Revelation 22, where he says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. Isn't that good? Whoever wishes, all that God does is, I'm going to offer this to you. He's a God who offers. He's a God of invitation. He's a God who says, come. And the rest of it is really whether we respond to that or not. Are you going to come or not? Here's an invitation. What are you going to do with it? Right? What are you going to do with it? We were at the wedding yesterday, and I think this is probably where some of this started churning in my heart. And a number of us were here at the wedding of Sifa and Fortong. And it just struck me about how, you know, that wedding of the Lamb, and how about weddings, the whole thing is about invitation. And they're not here today. I have no idea. I'm going to talk to them about that. I mean, I know they had a honeymoon last night, but come on, guys. But it just struck me how the whole day was about invitation. That it started in our relationship with Potter's Hands, with Fortong, by someone saying to Fortong, why don't you come and be part of Lazarus House? And how this speaks so well about Alvin and about Ray and the leaders of Lazarus House, really the fruit, we're seeing some of the fruit of Lazarus House. When we stand there like yesterday and we see this couple get married again, really, they're together again, and their seven kids are standing there with them going, we are going to be a family. We're going to be a family for the Lord. Right? But it comes from invitation that this happens. It does not happen unless we respond to the invitation. And it was an invitation to come to Lazarus House. It was an invitation to sit under the teaching of Alvin and Ray and the mentorship, which eventually led to Fortong, in his own words, would say, I had to come back to Jesus. I had to repent. And I did. I repented of the way I was living. And then he had to make an invitation to his wife to be. Will you marry me? That, by the way, is an invitation. And hopefully when you do make that invitation, she says, you bet. Yes, I will respond to your invitation. I would like to marry you. And really what she does at that point is she invites him. There's another invitation. Will you share your life with me? And they stand before us like yesterday, and they just basically all they're saying is that we accept the invitation of God. We accept the invitation of the Lord. And I think even in this family, and I wish they were here, they're not, but you know, in this family, it's sort of a whole family deal where all the kids are inviting Dad back into their lives again too. And they're saying, let's have a family that serves God together. Let's get this back on track under the lordship of Jesus Christ, because he's the one. He's the one who makes us one, right? So I'm thinking about, that's how I'm thinking about, and in terms of the wedding feast of the Lamb, that what God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, what he says to us more than anything else is just, come. It isn't all that complicated. Why don't you come? Why don't you be holy? Just, I want to infer holiness on you. And I invite you to come. Come to the table. Come to my arms. Come to the church. I'm going to say this too. You know, I think coming to worship is important. Maybe I don't say this enough. I need to be here. You're here because you thought it was important today. And I like that, and God likes that. You know, every time we come together, it's another time where we respond to Jesus saying, come, why don't you come? I'm thinking about it, it's kind of like a date in some ways. There's going to be a wedding feast coming. We heard about it. There's going to be a time coming when the Lamb is going to, the groom who is Christ is going to marry the bride. But in the meantime, these times when we get together, these are precious times. I need these times. I encourage you to keep coming. It's like a date. Every time we get together, this is another time that we spend as the bride of Christ with Jesus himself. And sometimes, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up here, because I don't think you need to be here all the time. There's lots of other things sometimes. You got to do some other things sometime. But I encourage you to come here. Be here. Come regularly. Be a part of the life of the body. Don't forsake the fellowship, Hebrews says, right? Come together. We need this time together. We are stronger when we get together and we get to date the groom and we get to have that intimate relationship with him. And it's so easy not to come, and there's lots of other things going on out there. But honestly, how can we encourage our friends and other people to come when we're so sporadic and we're not here very often? And I'm sounding now like the preacher who's going, try not to do that. I'd rather just that we'd want to be here. I can only speak for myself. I need to be here. I want to be here. When I'm not here, then I miss it in my life. I need that intimacy with Christ. And I need you guys in my life. I do. So then, here's a word that, I know I've given you lots of words already, but just listen to this one. From Jesus' words. From Jesus' words in Luke chapter 14, he tells this story. A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited. And they said this, the servant said this, come. For everything is ready. But they all alike began to make all kinds of excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another one said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master, and the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, go out quickly, and I want you to go to the streets and to the alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still more room. And the master told his servants, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. There's one thing that I know for sure from that word of God, from that scripture, is that God's house is going to be full. Yeah, it is. You can be sure of this. You can be sure of this, that on that day, when there's that great banquet, when we're going to be reunited with Christ on that marriage feast, there will not be any empty seats. And when it comes to invitation, it just strikes me there's two things that, I'm going to be quick about this, there's two things that come to mind when you get an invitation or when you hear about a party or you hear about a great feast. The first thing that comes to mind is, am I invited? You hear about some big do that's going on and all your friends are starting to go. This happened actually to us a few weeks ago. We heard a bunch of our friends were getting together at someone's house, and we weren't getting the invitation. And I looked at my wife. I said, what's wrong with us, honey? What's wrong with us? Something's missing here. And then, you know, later on that afternoon, the text came, hey, you want to come? And we go, yay, we're back in the group, you know. We're part of it again. We smell okay, right? The question a lot of times we have is, am I invited? And the answer, I just want to make this very clear this morning, the answer is absolutely. Absolutely you are invited. Yeah, come on. You should clap. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You are invited by Christ himself. He says, come. He's not making that, you know, to the person sitting next to you. He's making that invitation to you. Why don't you come? I want to spend eternity with you. Susan, I want you to know me, is what Christ is saying. I want to walk with you, Kit. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to have that kind of a relationship with you. And you are included. Yes, you. Now, the enemy, and Tim talked a little bit about this, but the enemy, he'll say all the opposite of that. He'll say, you're not invited. You're not included. He'll say one word sometimes, and that word is this. He'll go like this. You? You ever hear him say that before? I hear him say, you think you're invited? What a joke. Why would you be invited? Why would you be invited to this banquet? You? And Jesus says, yes, you. So be clear about this today. Yes, you. You are invited. You are invited to the feast. You get the invitation. He expects you. He wants you to be there. He'll be sad and disappointed if you do what those guys did in that parable and you go, oh, excuse me, I'm kind of busy that day. The Flames are playing. You know? Or I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Or maybe nowadays it would be a Polaris Skidoo. And I got to take it out for a rip, right? Sorry, I can't make it. He'll be sadly disappointed if you turn your back on him. Know this today, that the invitation is for you. It really is. The second thing, so the first thing is, am I invited? The second thing is this. It's really a question about, are you going to go or not? And here's where it all kind of comes down to each of us individually. How we're going to live our lives. How we're going to respond to God's word and to his invitation. He hands you the invitation. He says, I want you to come. I want you to be mine. I want you to come to this amazing feast. You going to take it? Thank you, Tim, because I want to be there with you. That's good, right? Are you going to take it? Or are you going to go, no thanks. Really appreciate you thinking about me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you offered it, but I'm kind of busy. I can't take it right now. You know how that is? Maybe you're not like me, but you know how sometimes someone invites you to something like, I don't know, someone who's selling something. I won't say what those things are, but don't go there. Right? And all, right away when they invite you, even before, I've had this, and I'm just confessing here, sometimes they invite you to come to something, and even before they're finished, I've got no on my lips. No, can't go. We're pretty tired, and we got to get some rest tonight, or whatever the excuse is. We can make lots of good excuses. And sometimes saying no is first thing on our lips, where we really need to just say yes to Jesus. Just say yes. Your life will change. You will continue, if you're in the kingdom, you'll continue to thrive in the kingdom and to be filled with the amazing joy of the Lord. Did you hear the worship this morning? There was just a few moments there where there was just amazing, incredible worship. There was just a resounding sound to God. Our lives are going to continue in that vein until the day when we are worshiping with all the angels and all the people and all the saints who've gone before us. Amen? Amen? And so the invitation always demands a response. You don't get away without making a response. And that response can be no, please excuse me, or the response can be yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I just want to say yes to you. I want to live in fellowship and relationship with you. Yes, Jesus. So know this today. As we come to the table of the Lord, it's about invitation. And I really believe this is what God wants me to say to you today. Or Jesus is saying directly, eye to eye, making eye contact with you and saying, I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to see my arms that are wide open. I want you to know that I love you. Did you hear that today? Have we said that yet? Jesus loves you. I love you. I love you so much. I just want you to come. Will you take the invitation? Will you receive it as I hand it to you? Will you declare that I'm yours and I will declare that you are mine? Will you take the invitation? And I want to come. So that I want you to come so that your life changes. I want you to come so that you actually start living. Because when you come, that's where life begins. Amen? When you respond to the invitation and you come to me, it's when your life begins. Many of us know that. We were dead. I was dead before I came to Jesus. I came to Christ and I suddenly had life. Did that mean I was perfect? Not at all. But I have life now because of Christ. And I'm a forgiven sinner because of Christ. He says, come to me. You got problems in your marriage? Come to me. Just come. I invite you to come. I'll help you with this. You need healing in your life. There's something physical going wrong with your body. You've had a diagnosis of some sort. You've got an immense pain somewhere. Come. He just says, come. He doesn't give a lot of other words. He doesn't share a lot of other explanation. He just says, come. Will you come? Amen? Yeah. Hey, thanks, Lynn. So, as we come together to the Lord's table, there's actually a video. And I think this video has been sort of stewing in me for a while. I want you to just listen to it, because if you didn't understand what I was saying, if at this point you're going, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. No idea. This video will, I think, help you with it. It's really moved my heart. And then we're going to just come to the Lord's table. So if you want to play it now, just sit. Okay, just sit and watch this.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down.
Good, right?
Yeah, that one gets me every time.
Yeah. It's about invitation. And you are worthy because he says you're worthy. You're worthy because the blood of the Lamb of God has been poured out.
because you're saved by grace, not by anything you could do. You could never do it. Jesus, when he was betrayed that night, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Come to the table. Come and eat and remember and believe that I love you." Amen? So what we're going to do, can we play it one more time? While we're playing it one more time, we're going to get ready for this. Would you please want the kids to be part of this? All our children are going to come in. And just take a minute to find your way in a circle. But also, just before you do that, think there's some people here who need prayer. Be sensitive to that. Maybe you could ask somebody, "Can I just pray for you for a moment? Or do you need anything? Or how can I encourage you?" Let's take 5 minutes. We can spare 5 minutes to just minister and to care for each other. Play it again, all right? And let's do that.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, "Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table." To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail and been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been led down. Come to the table.
to the table.
Thank you, Lord. It's okay, yeah. Just sing with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. Alleluia. I love him so. Alleluia. I love him so. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. Alleluia. He rose again. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. He says, come. Come to the table. And we include everybody. And we are that motley crew of misfits. I like that one line in there. We can own that proudly some days. Motley crew of misfits. We're people who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. And everyone. Hallelujah. Everyone's invited. Everyone's included. Take and eat. Wait a minute, I'll stop. Has everyone got bread? Make sure that no one's missing out, right? Okay, let's do this together then. Take and eat. Remember and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. Remember his death. Thank you, God. Amen? 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 You say, thank you, Lord? Give him praise. Lift him up. Yeah. Thank you for the invitation, God. I'm so thankful that you gave me this invitation. You said, come. Come. I'm so thankful that you move me by your grace and by the power of your Spirit to receive this. It's not because I'm so smart. It's because of your grace. Thank you, Lord. As we pass out the juice, let's share some, you know, we're giving thanks. This is, guys, this is a thank offering, a thank meal. What are you thankful for? Thank you that I'm clean and sober. Way to go, Stephen. Amen. Yes, Merlise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's a better place coming. What are you thankful for, Roxy? Your son. Amen. Amen. Thank you for our children. For new life. For grace, forgiveness, for every day. This is how we do a sacrifice of praise. For the church. He never gives up on us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the new life we have. The breath of life, for the invitation, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the invitation.
Thank you for the time of being a mentor.
For being a mentor. Okay, thank you, God. We're not done. Come on, what are you thankful for?
Right. Yeah.
I can't even really say what it is. I just know that it was something in Darwin that imparted life.
Amen. Yeah. He's with Jesus. So there's a fellow named Darwin who's a really good friend of Kara and Gaston's as well, and our condolences go to you and the family, but he passed away yesterday after quite a long illness, but he wasn't very old, but he was a very strong believer. He knew Jesus. We're thankful that this life doesn't define who we are. This isn't the end of it. And thank you for the faith that Darwin showed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For healing, for your healing power. I know you guys can't clap right now because it doesn't work too good, but I'll clap for you. Thank you, Lord, that you heal us. Amen. What else? That we have free will to choose to love you, that we're not robots, we're children. We say thank you. And we're all welcome at the table. Amen, Deb.
Our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship with the saints.
Yeah. Me too. I'm too. Did you hear that? Chad says, for the body, for the fellowship of the saints, that we got you. I got you in my corner. I got you in my corner. That's not always a popular corner to be in. Thank you that I have you. You know, we have each other, and that we support each other. That this is the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Amen. Repentance, redemption. How do we say thanks for all that he's done? He's in control. That's good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just some short ones. We've got some short ones left. Yeah. It's good to see you guys. Yeah, thank God for what he's doing. He keeps doing. He keeps doing. Yeah, I'm glad to be here today. So that's good. Yeah, thank you, God. Anyone else? For the growth in the body. Look at the little kids, right? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that there's life here. There's life. We feel it. We know it, right? There's life here. Thank you, God. Thank you for choices, like Tim was saying, making good choices. I'm glad he didn't join a biker gang. Thank you, God. Are we done? We're going to say more thanks, Gord? You're ready to go. Okay. All right. You know, this is a symbol of the blood. This is a symbol of the lifeblood, and particularly for Jewish people, they understood that life is in the blood. That's an Old Testament principle. Life is in the blood. And so when Jesus gave his life and he poured out his blood, what he's really saying is, my life I give you. You're going to have a life that is abundant. You're going to have a life that is eternal. It doesn't just last when you perish on this earth. You're going to have a life that's going to go on forever and ever. And we choose, when we take this, like he said in Deuteronomy, this is the choice we're making. It's a testimony we're saying, I choose life today. I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose to respond to his invitation to come. Take and drink and remember, this is the new covenant in my blood. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Do you have a song? Can we do Here I Am to Worship? We did that earlier. Wouldn't you? And Crystal will come. Why don't we just, let's end with that song, Here I Am to Worship, and give him the praise. Here I Am to Bow Down.
Today that we're hesitating to come to the front. And I know that there's some of us who have some healing issues today. There's something that you need healed in your life. There's something you're battling with. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something and you want to come. Karen, why don't you come up and pray? Will you do that? And Tim and maybe Darcy and Kirsten, and we got Alvin already and Rick. So come on, let's come and pray. You got something that you've been in a hospital about lately? Or someone you've been to a doctor about, let's bring this to Jesus. He just says, come. Come to me. I'm going to share with you the parting blessing, and then we're going to sing this again, but feel free to come. Don't. Jesus says, come, and I will heal you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Time, just come. Just come.
Yeah, thank you, God. Did your daughter, the one who's here, her name is Cassie. Does she know about Jordan? She's pregnant? I just had the feeling God saying that she needs to stand in a gap today. I don't know if she's open to do that. We pray for her.